Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out of the China, man. With the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the boy, Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Man.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Paul.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Reddy Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is the show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing that each of the rappers that's coming up, get them put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. This is the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow up Wizards.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering graphics, the devil is on. Check out the archive and hundreds of shows. Plenty of content for you to get through. Everything free, the devil is free. Oh yeah, we preserve the real for you.
We
got the gold,
we bought our beats, we represent. All them killers on the mic and we show love to all your fans.
I'm a man-made, going crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop ain't dead, representing for the legends. Rapping mumble rappers, Halloween, sitting on the hips. Two pocket beats, streaming, thank you for the bliss. It's the Murder Master Music Show, free the homie gangsta crow. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my chop about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it like a rapper, bitch, we coming hella strong. I see you feeding for the show like it's a drug. Let's get it.
What's up, everybody? It's the Murder Master Music Show. You know what I'm saying? We got a veteran on here, man. It's been doing it for years. Very lyrical. You're not going to hear no mumble bullshit out of him. That's for damn sure. This is Mr. Hyde, man. Mr. Hyde, how you doing?
What up? That's a good intro. The only mumbles you're going to hear is from my victim.
Mumbles. No fucking mumbles. Let's just go right into the mumble shit, man. I just interviewed AG the Corner, another lyrical spitter. You know, and I asked him the question.
Yeah, I know him. He just made an appearance on Cool G Rap's new album. I know AG.
Yeah, Return of the Don. Yep, classic.
No doubt.
And I asked him this question. The question is, you know, I'm saying, I think mumble rap should have its own genre away from hip-hop, like way the fuck over there. I don't think that's hip-hop. I mean, you being the lyrical, brutal MC, man, what do you feel about that crap?
Well, being that we just mentioned, like, dudes like Kool G Rap and stuff like that, and it just, a true lyricist, you know, I'm from that age and that era. I came up listening to Big Daddy Kane, you know, Slick Rick, Kool G Rap, those type of artists, you know what I mean? And with lyricism, where the rappers were actually saying something. You know what I mean? Like, whether it's even the start of hip-hop, it came from someone, as simplistic as it was back in the day, like in the early 80s and stuff, it was still about a message and about the rapper saying something and conveying some sort of a message. Now it's just nonsense. It's like bullshit. It's like who could just rap on auto-tune and sing their own sing-songy hooks and fucking and talk nonsense shit. Like, whatever their slang is in their little neighborhood, And wrap it with like the most simplistic bullshit you could ever imagine. You know what I'm saying? So it's like some bullshit. I don't agree with it. I don't hate on nobody. Let them do their thing. And what you said, I never even thought of that. Let them have their own fucking genre. You know, it's like if you can't deal with them, put them all on an island somewhere. You know, that's been said before for other types of things. But you know what I mean? Like,
don't have that.
It's almost like do your thing, just stay away from me.
Talent. You know?
Right. Don't try to label that shit hip hop, because that's where it gets offensive. See, the thing is, like, you can't put, you know, I don't know. It's like, don't fucking put ketchup on spaghetti and call it Italian food. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not real Italian food. Then that's like a fake imposter of Italian food. You know what I mean? Like that type of thing. So,
it's like,
you know what I mean?
It's like comparing a normal, healthy baby to afterbirth. It's not even, you know, it's just garbage. It's just fucking garbage.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You know, but,
exactly.
You know,
it's like comparing McDonald's to fucking like a steak dinner, like at a premium restaurant, a premium restaurant. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. It's definitely not what I grew up listening to. And I know the same for you. But let's go back a little bit, man. The first introduction that I heard your music, you know, Necro sent me some CDs a long time ago, and you had an album, I believe it was called Barn of the Naked Dead.
Yep.
That shit was, the cover, first of all, like, as soon as I see the cover, like, oh, yeah, because I knew what you guys were on with the covers, the real brutal stuff. You were very, very lyrical. You were holding your own, you know what I'm saying, with Necro, who's one of the best to do it. You know, when did you get involved in hip-hop and become an MC? Like, when did you say, I want to do this?
Okay, well, I've been thinking a lot about that, actually, lately, because, you know, with all, like, I get a lot of, you know, questions from fans, and then, like, also being this long in the game, I start to think back, like, where did I really first, you know, you start to reflect on your career, your catalog, because I'm like, you know, I'm four solo albums deep, a couple of group albums, and a bunch of, you know, I got a you know, pretty extensive catalog, not as big as Necro, he's, you know, he's got crazy catalog, but big shout to Necro, by the way. But the first time, I would say, I was very influenced when I was younger by horror movies, low budget horror movies, and whatever music of the time, obviously. But like in the 80s, it was, you know, a lot of Metallica and Slayer and stuff like that. But, you know, a lot of other things too. But definitely horror movies. I was a psychopath when it came to like watching horror, because my mother never let me watch it. So my parents were divorced. So anytime my father would pick me up on the weekends, he would just be like, yo, Chris, go ahead, go rent whatever you want to rent. And you know what I mean? And he would go play cards with his boys. And he would just let me rent whatever I wanted. So I'd rent like six movies of the worst fucking horror movies ever, like Three on a Meat Hook, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like the worst, most foul shit you could imagine. And, you know, growing up in New York, I was a street kid too. There's a lot of violence, a lot of things going on, and, you know, shit that I was dealing with back then too. So it was like a lot of influences from that time. Plus, that's what got me really imaginative, just like watching a lot of that stuff. And then the music of the time, like Slayer and Metallica that I was into, and then like some of the hip hop that infiltrated in, you know, because going to school, you know, you were exposed to a lot of different things. And then I just started writing. And when I first started writing, it was coming out like, you know, I was writing short stories. I was writing like little poems and shit, little evil poems, and they'd be evil and they'd be in the form of like poetry, but also like the like Metallica lyrics or Slayer lyrics, like everything was about the end of the world and kill everybody and that type of thing. But when I would read it, it would sound almost like hip hop, because I was writing it in like a poetry stanzas, you know what I mean, like that kind of form, that kind of structure. And then I remember my older cousin used to play in the car. He used to play, you know, he would play the metal shit of the time, but he would also play Slick Rick, you know, with Dougie Fresh, The Show, you know, like that type of shit. Then he would play Kool G Rap, It's a Demo, and like, you know, Rakim, Let the Rhythm Hit Him. And he would play like all that stuff from he was like the 86 era, like 80, 85, 86, 87, like that. He was older than me. You know what I mean? So and I would get real influenced by that. Like, yo, you know, what's that? You know, I'd ask my cousin, he would tell me, put me on. And then, like, when I got really into it at one point. And then me and my boy discovered the Stretch and Bobbito show in New York. And it was an underground hip-hop show, legendary. And we started just listening to it nonstop. And then, you know, people would call up at the end and try to spit bars, talking about, like, 1991, 92, around that time. They would start calling up at the end of the night for, like, the last 45 minutes of the show. Stretch and Bobbito would let people call and rap. And we were like, yo, let's write raps and call up and rap. So that's what we did. We started writing and we called up and rapped. And, you know, like our little fucking simplistic raps that we wrote at the time. And, you know, we were probably whack or whatever. And we just keep calling up. And then eventually we just loved it so much, we just kept writing. And like I said, I was influenced by all that dope shit, all the dopest shit from that time. And I already had that violent, you know, background too, from the horror movies and like being a violent kid. So my style started to get formulated. But the thing is, the influence of me to try to get better was me and my boy. His rap name was X-Lib. It was in my first rap group, Catch 22, back in the day before I even met Necro. And like, you know, we were competitive with each other. We try to outdo each other, rap, you know, and then we formed a group. He was real scientifical in similes and metaphors. So we did a song called Jekyll and Hyde. And basically I got my name from that song, because we did that song and we kick it for people, and you know, basically he would rap scientific fucking madness type shit, mad scientist type intelligence shit. And then I would rap the evil Mr. Hyde character that would come in and murder everything. You know what I mean? So we would go back and forth. And then I just, you know, I was Mr. Hyde, I would say, since like 1994. Before that, I was calling myself the Catastrophe. And then I found out that Tash from the Alcoholics was, his full name was Catastrophe. I didn't know Tash from the Alcoholics was, you know what I mean? So I was like, okay, I can't take that name. I was smart enough to, you know, like, not bite other people's shit. Even if I thought there was a hint of knowing somebody else was using something that sounded similar. So just as a, for me to tell you right now, I am the original rap, you know, like the Mr. Hyde. There was like an old school Jekyll and Hyde thing back in the day, but it didn't last long, like that old school shit, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde record that came out, but it wasn't Mr. Hyde by himself. Like, so I'm pretty much the first. There's other imitators now, but, like, you know, they didn't do their research. I'm not saying that they bit me, but I'm just saying that they probably didn't Google. You know, you got Google. If you're going to pick out a name, you know, for yourself as an artist, you would probably want to run it through Google. You know what I mean? And see if there's anybody, especially in your genre, you know? So, but anyway, people don't even give a fuck without even looking,
you know?
No, I mean, now they got to
see the research. Yeah.
Well, I can remember then again, reverting back to what we said earlier, I come from that culture of not biting, where it was whack to bite. Now everybody bites each other and it's all about it. Biting is not biting anymore, bro. Now it's called a trend, right? So if you're trendy, for me, being trendy is biting. that's I always looked at it like that. You know what I mean? So, like, when you hear me, it's like I give you something, I feel that I give you something that you can't get from anybody else. You know, I'm the trendsetter. So now when you have a lot of these, you know, I horrorcore rappers that try to sound exactly like me, maybe. And for me, I was very street also, so it's not all horror. You know, it's a melding of everything and me being myself and what I was influenced by.
You can't put yourself
and,
in one box. There's no way. Same
right,
with Necro.
Exactly.
I mean,
so
you know, when people think of Necro, they might think, man, straight brutality. This is, you know, when I think of Necro,
but he's got all those different
bars.
He's got Texas.
You know what I mean? Same with you. I think it's straight bars, you know, and that's a good thing. You know?
Well, I appreciate that because a lot of times you just hit it right on the head. A lot of people are like, oh, Hyde, yeah, he's crazy. Or, you know, but they never really, like, they may hear a couple of lines and then they'll be like, oh, he's too much, he's too horror, he's too this, that. But if they take time to listen, you're going to see lyrical skill. I'm formulating flows and using wordplay and fucking flipping my, changing, you know, the pace of my flows and still staying on beat when these other motherfuckers are rapping nervous. Like, they can't even ride a beat. You know what I mean? So, like, I have more respect for hip hop. You know, I have that deep rooted respect for hip hop to make sure that I'm coming with the best I could possibly come with, because I'm knowledgeable of factors that there's motherfuckers out there that could spit. You know, like I ain't trying to have somebody. I just told somebody recently that they heard some track that I featured on, and they were like, yo, you came so fucking crazy on this track, and I'm like, yeah, well. You know, any track that I do, a feature, whether somebody pays me for a feature or, you know, I jump on somebody's album or I'm doing a collabo, they might play it for somebody or somebody might hear that track and hear Mr. Hyde for the first time. So first impressions, right? If you hear me the first time on something and I fucking slaughter it every time, then I'm going to make you a fan. You know what I mean? So, like, that's always the main thing in my head. Every time I write, I'm never lazy because you know, I want it to be the verse that hits somebody for the first time. I always imagine some kid or some fan is going to hear me for the first time on this track.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely. Most definitely, man. And, you know, once they hear you, I mean, like you said, it's a rap. You know what I'm saying? If you appreciate hip hop, you appreciate, you know what I'm saying, bars and talent,
right.
you got to check it out. I'll tell you what. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. You know, I'm a humble dude. I would never say that, like, you know, a lot of these rappers, I'm the best. Every rapper is about how they're the best. They're this, they're that. Nobody could fuck with me. Nobody. Okay, all right, man, enough. For me, I just want, when you hear my shit, you know what I mean, to be like, oh, that motherfucker came for the throat. You know what I mean? You heard the bars. You heard the shit. The song made you feel a certain way, and you love it, and it's like, that's it. You could rock it. You could throw a Mr. Hyde song in a playlist with, you know, a bunch of other dope shit. And if I could even be mentioned in the same sentence, as rappers like Necro or Kool G Rap. Like recently I got on the Godfather's album and was able to do a track with Kool G Rap, and I just dropped another track with G Rap again. So it's like, you know, to be even mentioned in there, and you know, and having people actually hear my shit and acknowledge that, you know, that it's true talent. Like if you hear Necro, or you hear me, or you hear any of these rappers that are cut from that same cloth, any track you hear, if you don't like something about it or something in their catalog, then I feel like you're whack, because you don't, you know, you gotta like something, whether it's the beats, whether it's the flow, whether it's the content, whether it's the concept of the song. You know what I mean? Like Necro making a song about cockroaches. To, you know, motherfuckers relate to that, because, you know, people grew up poor, they had cockroaches in their crib and their cereal boxes, whatever, you know what I mean? So the most novelty of tracks that Necro had put out, or, you know, somebody that, you know, like me, I put out the track Bums, right, and I rapped about the perspective of being a homeless person, and, you know, how a homeless person would rap, you know what I mean? Like that's some original concept shit. If you don't even respect the concept, you respect nothing about the song, you're just like, no, Mr. High's whack, then, like, really, I don't respect you then. You know, because it's like, you know, it's, you know, complete originality when you hear it.
Yeah. There's a lot of these cats out here. They want to know talent if it bit them in the face. But you know,
right. And then they all try to rap, and they try to rap, and then they you know what I mean? These kids are talentless scumbags. They try to rap. So it's like, and everybody's a rapper now. They got a YouTube channel. Right. They got a YouTube channel and a podcast that fucking broadcasts out of their mother's fucking closet. You know what I mean? Now you're a rapper? The fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Your mother's calling you for dinner, bitch.
With a Fruity Loops program, a microphone, and a YouTube channel. Yeah, you're right, man. And that
Fruity Loops, I got these motherfuckers hitting me up on SoundCloud.
MCs, you know, the K-Renos, the Necros, the guys like yourself, you know what I'm saying, who got bars for days. K-Reno last year dropped 7 albums on one day, or 2016, in November. 7 albums on one day, all fucking bars, man. You know, and this is
no doubt.
It's been doing it 30 years. It didn't get no recognition at all, hardly. You know, our show,
right. And then
our,
you got
show,
a kid,
that, and a few others, and that was it. You know,
yeah, you got it. Then you got these nobodies that end up, and what's funny is they end up with more IG followers, more YouTube views than the dope shit, than the real ill shit, because maybe somebody, you know, they're connected to somebody, or they did something, or they bought YouTube views, or they did some shit.
They paid for it.
Oh, that's another thing I wanted to mention. I've been in the game in a long time, and one of the things that I keep it 100 with with that type of shit. I don't have no fucking, all my followers and all my fans are organic. I don't pay any of these fucking, you know, I've never paid for a view. I've never been on a you know, a radio show where I paid to get up there. I never been, you know what I mean? I never, none of that shit. If you don't respect me enough, and I don't respect you, then you ain't, I ain't dealing with you. Or if I'm dealing with you, it's probably going to be violent. So it's going to be more, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the type of dude I am. Oh, you don't respect me? All right. I'll see you when I see you then. You know what I mean? If it's like that, if you're even worth my attention like that, you know what I mean? But I'm saying, like, I'm very much organic, all my views, all my followers, all my, so what's dope about that is, say if you see my IG, I have 10,000 followers on IG, right? But those 10,000, they all clicked follow on me organically. It wasn't like, you know what I mean? Like, so they all, and a lot of them support my shit, repost my shit, and buy my shit. So, you know, because all my numbers are around the same.
And building up a network. And I know Necro done the same for years. You know what I'm saying? You guys have built up a huge following, psychological, you know what I'm saying, to where you can go all around the world. You just did a European tour, didn't you, with Necro?
Yeah, we did Europe in the 15 into 16, and then we just did Canada I'm home 1 month since Canada. We did a whole full month long tour in Canada, all over from East Coast to West Coast, the whole trek. We did like 20 shows in 26 days. Like, there wasn't really many days off, and that was crazy grind. Shout out to Canada and the Canada fans, because we haven't been able to get in for so long because of the border, and they don't really smile upon convicted felons and shit. So, you know, we had to go through a whole big process just to get in. It came down to the wire with the border patrol, and, you know, all these people, you know, the consulate, and we had to send letters, and oh man, a lot of paperwork, a lot of clerical shit, lawyers, just to get in. And then once we got in, like, we did our thing. It was dope.
See, so, that's got to be awesome. Yeah. Be able to tour a whole continent, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
And just give people what they want. You know, that's dope right there, man. I'm happy for you guys because you guys have been putting in work for years. You know what I'm saying? You've been grinding through the, you know what I'm saying, all the different, you know what I'm saying, phases in hip-hop. Like, we were talking about the mumble rap and this and that. They had, what is that, Laffy Taffy bullshit years ago. And you guys were always...
Oh, thinking, yeah, we went through all that. Yeah, we've seen all these trends, so-called trends, come and go. We've seen these trends come and go. Necro took basically the influence of Master P and what he did, independent, indie, and like to that type of hustler. And he used that as fuel for his label and his, a lot of his moves, and then just put his own spin on things and learned so much along the way. And me being able to have that trickle down effect was great, because now everything I put out, I independently fund and distribute. And, you know, like I just recently, you know, Necro gave me control of all my masters, all my digital catalog, which is like crazy. You know what I mean? Like, for years it was, we were, you know, like, I was Psychological Records, which I still am. That's the family, that's the banner. But, you know, I'm in control of all my own masters, which is sick. A lot of these, you know, these big record labels own these rappers forever. And they can't, you know, and if they're not doing good, they shelf them, you know, and like, you know, and any money that comes in, it's like, they get the money, you know, so that's a big thing too. And now we've seen everything come and go, like you just said, with the glitz and glam rap, the whole fucking, you know, the puffy mainstream, you know, Junior Mafia shit, and, you know, and then from the beginning, the actual beginning of hip hop, sick, you know, like I said, I wasn't really, I started to get up on hip hop, like I would say, like 86, like that, around that time, 86, 87, where it became, like, okay. Yeah, around the same time. All right, cool. Well, it's great to run into somebody who knows the history, who knows it. Like Necro just said recently in Fuck Commercial Rap in the single, he's like, yeah, you know your history, and you know your history, like the Fuck Commercial Rap and the Take Hip Hop Back tracks that he just did recently. Like, it's one of these things that bother us when these new jacks come out, they don't even know their history. Like, you know, they come out, they're rappers, and they couldn't even tell you. You could say Big Daddy Kane, they won't know who the fuck that is. You could say,
they don't know shit about no MC Shan. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to
MC Shan. Right, they don't
Shan.
Know MC, right.
He just dropped an album last year called Bars Over Bullshit. 22 tracks, first album in 30 years. I thought that was a highlight for hip-hop in 2017. Two Juice Crew members
That's
dropped
dope.
The album last year. You know what I'm saying? Cool G Rap,
That's
of
dope.
Course, and MC Shan. So... People
that's amazing. Well, those guys are
drop.
Supreme legends. There wouldn't be certain beat makers and rappers if it wasn't for those two, you know, and both from Queens. Here's a fun fact. Kool G Rap was born in the same exact hospital as me, Elmhurst Hospital, 10 years before me. So 10 years before I was born, Kool G Rap was born in the same hospital. And now that hospital's closed. So there will be no more Queens MCs born in that hospital. But that was just a fun fact. Not from that hospital.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I was born in Elmhurst.
Great. When did you hook up with, you know, and start doing stuff with Necro? How did you meet him?
That's also underground New York radio. Not Stretch and Bobbito, but the another radio show there was DJ Riz. And DJ Eclipse had a show. It was Riz and Mayhem, and then Riz and Eclipse, and that was NYU, WNYU. And I had heard, I was up on the underground scene. This was like 96, and I was really up on everything, you know, on the underground. Any new artist that came out, you know, who was dropping shit on the radio or had a vinyl single out, I knew it, and I studied it. I was up all night with my fucking hands on record, my fingers on record, taping the shit, missing school the next day. I was in high school. I missed school the next day. You know what I mean? Fuck it. Thursday night, the shit's on late. I'm missing school the next day. Fuck it. So, like, you know, it was that type of thing. Cause I'm staying up till 5 in the morning. But the Risen Eclipse show and the Martin Moore and Mayhem show with DJ Riz, Necro had made an appearance on there. Back then, he didn't have anything out yet, but he produced the Beats, the Nonfiction's first single, which was No Tomorrow. And it was, I think it was with MC Search. It was No Tomorrow and Fuck Legacy was the other song. Was the other song on there, and Necro produced No Tomorrow. So I knew him from producing Nonfiction tracks, and I just knew the culture. I was up on him. I didn't know he was a rapper. I just knew he produced the shit, right? So he went up on made an appearance on that radio show, and I'm like, oh, Necro, the producer from that Nonfiction, you know, vinyl. Okay. And then he starts rapping Evil with his own, he brought up his own beats. He brought up his own, like, board. I guess he brought up the ASR-10 or something, you know, full of his own beats. And they were Evil beats. They were fucking crazy. And he was rapping Evil on the beats, and he destroyed it. And you couldn't curse on that radio show. So he was, like, improvising as, like, a curse word might come up in his rhyme. He was saying, you know, this friggin', you know, he would say friggin' this, friggin' that, or like, you know, and he just killed it. I never heard anybody rap, and I was like, oh, this guy, I thought I was the only one rapping Evil and doing that movement on the underground, going to open mics and doing that shit at that time. And then I heard him destroy it on his own beats and his own production, and he's like, yeah, I rap on my own beats, and he killed it. So I was like, I got to meet this dude, because, you know, I want beats like that. I want to vibe with him, see where his head is at. And He had a couple months later, it turned to be 97, I think it was like January or February 97, produced the single for Radiohead and Agent Orange, which is Cage's first single, Cage, and he did the beats for that, and he went to the Cage show at New Eureka Poet Cafe to roll with Cage. They were rolling at the time, you know what I mean? And I went to that show to specifically to see Necro and talk to him and poly with him. So, you know, I met him outside. He was selling a VHS movie, his own movie, you know, 187 Reasons Why on VHS, a 20-minute black and white movie that he had made in Brooklyn College, you know, film school. So I was like, you know, this guy's a hustler. He's doing his thing. He's the producer, the rapper. I already respected the dude. And he was rapping Evil. You know what I mean? Rapping, you know, in bars. Evil, but not cheesy Evil. Rapping original shit. Yeah, really lyrical. You know what I mean? So I ran up on him, and I was like, yo, you know, I gave him respect for the radio show. I heard you on the, you know, thing, and I bought his, you know, I supported right off the bat. I bought his VHS. I was like, yo, I'm gonna support you, man, and bought that shit. And you know, I was a wild looking kid at the time. I had all these skull rings on with like spiky skull rings. You know, like those biker rings that, you know, when you punch somebody with those rings, you rip their face off. That was one of the things. that was, you know, back in the day. I used to get into brawls in the street, and that was a little extra for me because I, you know, I was able to rip people's faces off even more than I would have. So, like, I had a black leather jacket on, but underneath the jacket was like a tank top, and I had sunglasses on at night. I was a sick dude back in the day. So he peeped me. He was like, yo, this kid is sick. And I was like, yo, let me spit a verse for you, just like that. I spit a verse for him, and I was rapping like some abortionist, contortionist, twisting abdomen, hooks pierce your skin, sin, grappling. Like, you know, I was rapping some crazy fucking shit. But it was still Evil and lyrical. He was like, wow, this kid's nuts. And he's like, oh, you want to see Cage? You want to meet Cage? And I'm like, nah, fuck Cage. I came here to meet you. You know? So he was like, whoa, okay. You know, like, so I specifically sought him out because I knew that we would vibe. And, you know, look, 21 years later, you know, he's still my best friend, you know, so it's like it ended up going together. You know what I mean? It was the right vibe when you get that feeling that, you know, because there was nobody else. There was really nobody else doing that type of shit. And he saw the vision when I was
shows together. That's dope. After all them years.
Yeah, man. And when I was a young, nobody would have remember. Like, this is before. I mean, I was rapping horror, but hip hop before the Grave Diggers came out. Before, you know, Flatline. Before I heard Flatliners, I was already rapping Evil like that. And then that little movement dropped, and went over pretty well at that point. And you know, I was like, oh wow, you know, if they could do it, you know, like, but I'm gonna keep doing it. That kind of inspired me a little bit. I wouldn't say I was influenced by it because I was already writing Evil before that dropped, but like, you know, like I was like, wow, okay, you know, like that shit's getting over. It's okay, and I feel like my shit is just as sick. So I kept up at it, and then Necro, Necro nurtured my fucking style. He's like, he believed in it. And he's like, you know, hi, you know, we're gonna do Barnes and Naked Dead. We're gonna put out your album, you know, and you know, that's something that I'm in debt forever. You know, like nobody would have fucked with me at that point.
The first time I heard that horror was
Chucky and Bushwick Bill, or maybe Assassins.
Yes.
With the Ghetto Boys. You know, but Gangster Nip, he took it to a level of just complete insanity. Like, I was like, holy shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then
he was he got more foul. He was really fucking foul,
man.
Right? And people ask me all the time because I'm one of the, you know, the people that they come to when it comes to horror rap and stuff like that. Even though, like I said, I'm not all pigeonholed horror. You know, I got street veteran. I'm very street too. But they ask me all the time, you know, who would you say was the inventor of horrorcore? And I always tell people, it's funny that you said that. The first I ever heard before I was rapping was Bushwick Bill, you know?
And you know what? Nip, Gangster Nip, he wrote that song for Bill. That's how Rap-A-Lot signed Gangster Nip. Yeah, I was interviewing a lot of the guys in Houston that were freestyle battling and stuff, and they said he was doing that back in the 80s. Like, and they would all battle real lyrical, but he would come up and be like, I'll snatch the veins out your arms and use them as shoestrings. You know what I mean? He was just
crazy with it.
Yeah. And,
I
love that style, though. I love that style. It's pretty dope.
Anybody who grew up in it, because it's a different realm. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you know, it gets tiring hearing the same shit over and over, like, you know, especially nowadays. You know, everything's almost exactly the same.
A good horror, classic horror flicks to wax. I mean, nothing wrong with that at all. You know what I'm saying?
I'm very cinematic no doubt. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say is that the way I formulated my style and I started coming into my own was to be my when you hear a Mr. Hyde song, it's very cinematic. It almost feels like you're watching a movie because I'm so descriptive, and I also attach horror samples, you know, into the song. I was one of the first to infuse the horror samples in there. You know what I mean? Like, as far as, like, I'll take horror samples, like sound bites, and make it a hook. Like, I was doing that shit. But Ghetto Boys was doing that shit with Scarface, the movie Scarface. They took all the samples from Scarface.
Ready,
and fuck them all. Fuck them all.
Red.
You know, I buried these cockroaches. Fuck them all. You know what I mean? That type of shit.
Yeah.
You know? All I have in this world, you know? Like, so, you know, that influenced me, too. I know that's a big influence of Necrons, too. You know? So, like, that type of shit. And then being descriptive, I was always a big reader. I would read Stephen King books, Dean R. Koontz books, Mary Higgins Clark, horror books. Like, I would read a lot when I was a kid, too. So, like, besides being, you know, I just was into it. You know, imaginatory, I could picture shit while I'm reading. So when I would write, I'm very descriptive where it's like you feel like you're actually seeing the rhymes through my eyes, you know. That's part of, like,
more horrific because you get the visual to it, you know what I'm saying? And that's what a good MC does. That's what a good writer does.
Exactly.
Let's take a break real quick. I'm going to go into this song, Rhyme to Murder.
Hell yeah.
If you can intro this for us, because this here is a banger. Oh, I want them to hear this.
Yeah, that was one of the singles from my new album, Evil Never Dies, and that's like the more boom-bap hip-hop track. I got DJ Evil D from Boot Camp Quick, and everybody should know. If you don't know DJ Evil D, then I don't want to talk to you. he does the cuts on that song, and I actually had him I picked the sample out, and he's cutting up Kool Keith from Ultra Magnetic MC's Legend, Kool Keith, one of my influences also from back in the day, and he's from Papa Lodge. I had the acapella from Papa Lodge, and I've always wanted to sample Keith and sample that hook, and I had him cut up that sample, and that's where you're gonna hear the hook. Those are the cuts, and it's a real the production is really ill. It's this dude named Huecos from Spain. He's a European, you know, from Spain producer who's coming up. He's on the underground, but he's already doing crazy beats for a lot of different artists. He's worked with, he's done remixes for Vinny Paz. He's done Psycho Realm. He does beats. He's done beats for, and he did a couple of beats on my album. So shout out to Huecos.
Oh, hell
and,
yeah.
And,
we're having Sick Jackin on tomorrow, the Psycho Realm. That's what's up.
That's what I was just with Jackin on a Back to Basics Festival with Necro and, you know, Immortal Technique. who were out there in San Diego and Orange County. We did a dope festival out there. That's the homie right there, Jackin. All right, so yeah, that's the track. Everybody check it out on YouTube. Go stream that shit on Spotify. Listen to it right now on the show. You guys are going to enjoy it. I'm spitting real fucking hard bars on, you know, but with a hip-hop feel, with that vintage 90s scratching the hook type boom-bap feel. You know what I mean? So enjoy.
This is our shit right here. This is what we like. We'll be right back with Mr. Hyde. Don't go anywhere. When I come back, I want to find out some of your favorite horror movies. We'll be right back.
Gotcha.
Queens bred the street veteran, hands and heat specialist. I keep the cops vexed and stressed, police dread the kid. It's evident your head is split the second my adrenaline kicks in. I rip skin, red liquid is dripping in. Puddles of the paramedic, shovel up the blood. And the bugs will share your guts like the lunch was double dutch. So I'm jumping up and stuffing you and any members of your crew. I'm bludgeoning you by pulling out your eyeball. What a view. PLR, massacre, hardcore ambassador. Crack doors with bats and we slap all you rappers up. You get your chin checked, your tooth checked, it's loose bent. You let this shit I spit or leave the vocal booth. Wreck. I'll jab you in the cheek with the fastest hand speed you ever seen. Rip my fleet with that dragon's land heat. Keep it street like panhandlers and vagabonds. You dare to spar, prepare to get slammed hard. My team, we manhandle y'all. Beast man,
rhyme to kill, rhyme to murder.
Beast man,
rhyme to kill, rhyme to murder. Yo, I ain't joking.
Beast man,
rhyme to kill, rhyme to murder.
And I can stand against my squadron and get blasted fast. Modern parts are planted in my garden. Fresh fertilizer, flower food, my crew will overpower you. Devour you and disembowel you like Pitbull Jowl Zoo. Ground you up and spit you out, roundhouse, kick your mouth. You shook up like a little mouse, a pussy fluid dripping out. Your plow, thought I told y'all. Control your fate like Zoltar. The future for your face is me to break it with a crowbar. Leave your skull dented and resembling a pentaframe. My vengeance is an endless thing, the ill-tempered gentleman. Never second guess a nigga holding text with extra clips. Evict you from your Section 8 crib and take a shit up in it. I forbid you live another minute so you won't. Swing a sharp silver scissors, swiftly slit your fucking throat. All of those who approach, they got squashed like a roach. No stomp to your gross, pure darkness of woe. Beast man,
rhyme to kill, rhyme to murder.
Beast man,
rhyme to kill, rhyme to murder. Yo, I ain't joking.
Beast man,
rhyme to kill, rhyme to murder.
That's what hip-hop sounds like, folks. Let me bring back on Mr. Hyde. I got my brothers with me, Mag J. You know what I'm saying? I got the homie
Thanks,
Tim
man.
From France. I'm going to bring him on. Man, dude, you killed that.
Appreciate that, bro. Yeah, listen, it's just one of those things where, like I was telling you earlier, I just want to spit where if somebody hears me for the first time that they're going to be impressed, and the first impressions are like the, you know, that's what it is. They hear something for the first time, if they don't know me, they don't know the history, and they hear it, and I want to make sure that they're destroyed by it. And
I did not know the history of your music, man. And just listening to that song, man, like prayers hit me behind the scenes. He like, man, check this shit out, man. That shit dope, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's
this
up.
It's Mac J, man. I gotta let you know, man. I appreciate that. And the dialogue that y'all had before y'all went into the song, too. You know what I'm saying? Like talking about how your origins are coming up in the game and listening to certain shit. And the shouts out to Reddy Red and them from the Ghetto Boys, you know what I'm saying, with the Scarfaces. And, that's feeling, man. That's that feeling. We've been talking about that a lot lately, Prez. I don't know. You know, you hear certain songs and you get that feeling again. So these motherfuckers can't keep telling me that it ain't no real music out here. Yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? We heard some songs yesterday. We heard some songs last week, and it's like, damn, man, this that feeling you get again. Like, it's cats still out here making dope-ass fucking music. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can't keep telling me it ain't no good music out here. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
If you don't listen to the mainstream radio and you say, oh, it ain't no good music out there because I listen to, then you ain't looking deep enough. You need to dig deeper. Yeah.
You gotta scratch beneath the surface. It's just like, you know, it's like you're saying there's no good restaurants and you didn't leave your fucking block. You didn't leave your, you know what I mean? You didn't leave your corner. So, the bodega.
You don't have to go to McDonald's every day to get a decent meal. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what I tell them. Like, even if you look at it in them terms, you don't have to go to Wendy's. You don't have to go to Jack in the Box. You can go to that spot that's right off the corner that's been there for 30 years, but they still got the good shit. You know what I'm saying?
They got the family, the whole family organization cooking in the back, and it's the special recipes and shit, and they're coming up with the hot
exactly.
shit.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's the same shit.
But
man.
Listen, and he said before that these kids nowadays wouldn't know talent if it smacked them in the face. And it's true. It's like, you know, and they hear it, and it's such a foreign language to them. I played kids my shit, like new kids, new jack kids, and it's such a, I could see it in their face. They don't understand a word of it. It's too fast for them. It's too thought provoking for them. They're like, yo, I just want to, you know, I want to hear something about just, you know.
Right.
Fucking trap rap, and that's it. You know, like whatever. It's too much. It's too far over their head. You know what I mean? And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, these kids are brainwashed.
Yeah, they are brainwashed, man. They definitely are brainwashed. We got the homie from France, Shin, calling in. If you can't understand Shin, let me know because I can translate for him. Shin, what's up, brother?
Yeah, what's up, Scott? What's up, Mike J? What's up, Mr. Hyde? Yes.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Yeah, can you tell us about the album Band of the Naked Dead, and especially the cover is crazy. And
the cover,
also,
the artwork?
Yeah, it's a great cover.
Yeah, for sure, man. That artwork for Band of the Naked Dead was done by Chaz Ballin from Deep Red magazine. He was a sick artist for a sick horror magazine, kind of like Fangoria. It was a publication that would come out like once every 6 months, and he was the owner and CEO of that magazine, I believe, and he also did the artwork, and it was a connection that Necro had. A dope artist. He's a real dope artist, and yeah, the album, it kind of like, you know, the artwork embodies the content of the album. If you look at it, it's so like in your face and raw, and that's kind of like what the contents of the album is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your point of view also about the early hardcore rappers like or acid rap like Isham or even Twist Mafia, Mystic. Oh yeah, or Twist Mafia, Mystic Styles days, you know what I'm saying, or Brother Inch season of that sickness. Have you an influence on that or you think you?
Yeah. Like I said, I'm up on Isham. I'm up on a lot of the those legendary types. You know, horror rappers, or you labeled it acid rap. I don't know if I came across that term, but I mean, I'm definitely up on him, and he's considered a legend in that genre, you know, in those areas. But did I answer your question? Was the question if I'm up on Isham?
Oh, it was on Isham of 36 Mafia, also Mystic Styles.
Oh yeah,
36
Mafia,
of sickness.
Of course. Yeah, I know 36 Mafia, but they did that. I'm not sure about their newest stuff, but I know they were definitely doing their thing at one point. Like I seen that they had double page ads in the Source. You know what I mean? They were definitely doing that evil grimy type thing. So I'm not, like I said, I had a focus on around that time. I was focusing on me and like my crew, but I'm definitely, I'm up on them and I'm up on their movement.
Sin is an encyclopedia of hip hop, pretty much. thank you for calling in, brother. I appreciate you.
Yes. Thanks, appreciate it.
Hell yeah, Sin. Hell yeah, Sin.
Yeah, I mean, like,
universal language.
Yeah, those types, you know, I'm up on it all, but, like, obviously, if I was indulging myself on every track from every artist, I wouldn't be able to work on my own shit. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, but yeah, I'm definitely up on them, and I respect them, and I respect their hustle. You know?
Oh, yeah,
no doubt.
Dudes
like that. 3-6 Mafia, Esham.
They all carved a niche in the game. But before we went to the break, I wanna ask you about your favorite horror movies, man, because you said a lot of the stuff you're inspired by was the horror movies. What are some of your favorites?
Well, my number one favorite horror movie of all time, because it really changed my life. It changed my attitude, just the way I, you know, just viewed things. It's changed everything, my perception on everything, really, and my creativity, was the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like I said,
I seen that
when I was about seven or eight years old. You know, Toad Hooper, that one.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that shit is fucking crazy. Like, the goonism and the characters and how real it was, you know, and the way they filmed it in the dark, like, with not proper lighting, and, like, it felt like you were there. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
man.
Leatherface is... And it was so real, like, in the depiction of it. It wasn't crazy, like dramatic how they make it now in the horror movies with the leading up to it. Even with, like, I'm not going to shit on Friday the 13th, but, like, you know how, like, they build it up, and it's all built up and all that shit?
Like
it's kind of Hollywood.
The chainsaw fire up in it.
Yeah, bro, that's how it would happen. You're snooping around on fucking Leatherface's property. The door's going to open. The motherfucker's going to hit you with a sledgehammer, drag you into the fucking thing, and put you on a meat hook. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, like that's how it's going to go down. You're not going to hear no music or build up or, like, Hollywood, nothing. It wasn't like that. The movie was real. It was like, and then now you're locked up, you're strapped to a table with them, with a bunch of cannibals at the table. You know what I mean? Like, and they're torturing you, making you scream. You know, that kind of shit.
Sucking grandfather. Yeah, that movie did that.
I mean, that affected me. It was
that,
like,
movie. I mean, Grandpa's
a one-hitter.
Yeah, the remake was okay in 03, but it's nothing like the original. The only thing I like about the remake is they got the guy from Full Metal Jacket. I thought he was pretty
good. Yeah, the drill sergeant.
Finger in
the drill
head
sergeant.
After she was shot.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he started
fingering
the
bullet
on her head.
Yeah, he's
crazy.
Dope. That guy's dope, and but see, there again, you have a dope character who played the role sick, and you got goons to play the role. But see, that movie was made, Texas Chainsaw, with all unknown actors, and you didn't know them from a fucking hole in the world. It wasn't like it was a low budget movie, but it was filmed so real.
None of them were.
Right.
Yeah.
None of those motherfuckers were known. And it was filmed so real that you felt like you were flying on the wall in there. So it's like, that's what affected me as a kid watching it, because it looked like it could have been my sister, you know, my older sister, or, you know, like, whoever. You know, those people who were getting chopped up, it looked like somebody you run into on the street. You didn't identify it like, oh, that's, you know, somebody famous, or that's Bill Cosby, or that's fucking, you know what I mean, in a movie, or, you know what I mean, or Bruce Willis. It wasn't like that. It was, you just saw them as like normal people that could have happened to, and that could have happened to you if you were like, and anybody could pick up a hitchhiker, and, you know, and like that type of shit went down. And then the intro, when it was like the events are real, it's based on a true story, and, you know, it was real creepy when they were doing the credit roll, and you get chills down your spine, you know. So I used all that in the goonism of that movie, the characters, and that's how I started to become influenced by that in life. I wanted more. I was a junkie for that. I wanted to rent every fucking horror movie to get that feeling again, from the first time that I saw Texas Chainsaw. You know, like a crackhead looking for that hit again, that first hit. hit where they fucking lose their mind. You know what I mean? Like they experience it for the first time. They always chasing that first feeling, that first high that they got. And it's never going to be as good, you know. But that was the movie that opened me up to everything. But, you know, of course I enjoyed all these other flicks. I mean, The Howling is one of my favorite movies in the werewolf genre. That influenced me a lot because, keep it real, I seen that. Right, there you go. I seen that when I was a little kid, too. And I just keep it real with you. I scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. You know what I mean? So, like, fuck it. You know, that movie was like, I was looking for werewolves around. Like, like going to sleep, you hear something, you're like, oh, man. But yeah, dude,
right, you're taking the garbage
checking
out. You like, wait, did you hear that?
And
it might be a werewolf.
That got you paranoid, too,
Mexico.
Because.
Yeah, it's werewolves in New Mexico. Don't go out there.
sure, yo. I know there is. So sometimes I question myself if I'm a werewolf or not, because I get beast, I go into beast mode. But anyway, but what I'm saying is that movie was also, it was Creeps. The dude Eddie was like an everyday normal creep dude who turned into the werewolf. And when they showed it the way that happened, it was like it could be any shady dude in the street could turn into a werewolf. Like, I was having that thought in my head. I would see a dude that, I looks like that motherfucker that changed in the fucking booth, you know? And it was like, yo, that was a sick character, too, that he played. And it was just, it was very real, and the prosthetics. Just the way shit was shot back then was grimy. It's not that CGI shit where it's all, you know, glammed up. It was like, you know, this fucking, you see the bubble in the dude's head popping out and the fucking fangs growing. And another one you got to give props to is American Werewolf in London for that change scene. That was the first scene, the werewolf scene with no cutaways, where they were filming the change happen with no camera cutaways. So you got to give props to American Werewolf in London for that. You know, even though that there was a lot of comedy in that, because it was a comedy director, John Landis, But he did Animal House. The guy who directed American Werewolf in London was a comedy director. And it was just bugged out that he would do that, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely, man. But I agree.
Those are some of my
That set the bar high. That set the bar high.
And if I were to say number two, the number two for my imagination and my writing that influenced me would be the Hellraiser series, Clive Barker, and I would say Hellraiser. That movie was shady. When I saw the first Hellraiser for the first time, that changed me too, just because of the foulness. I mean, it's the fucking guy, the larva bloody thing on the mattress turning into a human every time you feed him a victim, like, you know, and then the blood dripping into the floor, and then you open the box and Pinhead. I mean, that was wild though. Like, you know, that was some shit that, you know, I never seen no shit like that before. Those are my favorites.
Hellraiser.
Yeah, Hellraiser. I mean, you still think about it. When I'm writing rhymes now, I think about, you know, Hellraiser, you know? It pops in my head.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. Definitely. Let me ask you this. We were talking a little bit about violence. Since we're in the violent era and we were talking about violence, you know, you were, you know what I'm saying? You and Necro, I mean, you guys have done shows everywhere. Did shit ever get out of hand? Did you guys ever have to, like, just, like, bust? But I saw a video, I think someone threw a bottle at Necro, and he freaked out. Like, hey, that motherfucker does this, I'm going to start hitting people. Do you guys ever have to beat people down out there?
Well, unfortunately, all the time. I mean, we've gotten into countless situations, and, you know, like, we learned a lot from it. We're international criminals. We got locked up in Switzerland. We were in a Switzerland jail. We got locked up in Australia. I mean, for situations like this that you're speaking on. I mean, New Zealand, we've had brawls. I had drunk nut jobs in L.A. trying to steal the merchandise off the merch table. A couple different, you know, Scotland. I mean, we've had international brawls. And a lot of times the key of it is to either roll with your own private security and have somebody to, like, be able to buffer and get them, you know, to stop the shit before it starts, that type of thing, like straight to the stage, straight to the VIP area, because you get some wild fucking people, some drunk motherfuckers, some crazy, you know, and a lot of our fan base is, you know, God bless them, but they're out of their fucking minds, a lot of them, I would say 50% of them.
Yeah.
And you know, and then we incite that type of energy when we perform, because we're very animated and very crazy, and we exude that fucking energy, you know, of our tracks. So I go wild on stage. Necro's fucking like a rapping demon on stage. So we get the crowd pumped. We get the mosh pitting, and that energy trickles over. And if we're doing a signing or something, and at the merch table, or, you know, it could get out of hand, and these kids are all riled up and drunk and coked up or whatever the fuck, you know. So, like, yeah, we unfortunately had to put a lot of hands on a lot of people, but, you know, we've had some wild situations happen. We don't want to go, you know, we don't like to really glorify it, because nobody really, we don't want, none of us want to have an issue when we're performing. We want to get our money. We don't want to hit fans. But, you know, it's happened, and we've had haters. Smoothly. We've had haters just show up and, you know. You know, like you said, like people throwing bottles. Me, Necro, and Ill Bill fought the whole front row of a crowd in Norfolk, Virginia. The motherfuckers,
holy
the crowd
shit.
Just turned on us. And we jump in, the, you know, Necro jumped in, I jumped in, Ill Bill jumped, and we're fighting the whole front row. You know what I mean? We actually beat up, like, the bunch of kids in the front, and then we went back on stage, and we continued our show, and then another set of kids started hating and fucking screaming. It was, we were opening up for Hatebreed, which is a hardcore group, metal/hardcore group, and we were opening for them. It was a heavy metal crowd, you know, more of a metal, you know, and they just turned on us. They weren't trying to hear us do hip hop, I guess, or whatever. You know, they weren't trying to hear that. They were throwing bottles, and so I started throwing full Poland Spring bottles. We had bottles on stage, you know, from hospitality. So they're throwing bottles at us, and I played baseball back in the day too. You know, I was a good baseball player, so I start throwing like 80 mile an hour Poland Spring bottles at people's heads in the crowd. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Fuck you. And I was breaking kids' faces. Their noses were busting, you know, from the bottles.
Hey,
and
man,
shit. So
they deserved it, though. You should have been throwing up at the performers, man. You know,
right.
But
so I said, oh, you're gonna do that? All right, then. You know, like, so it's like you're gonna get what you give. And then we got into it, and then even the bouncers turned on us, and the cops ended up coming, and you know, we were laying people out, and it was crazy. So I end up in the cop car, and it was a funny story. They let me out because the kid ended up not pressing charges on me, you know. Like, so the one kid who was trying to press charges didn't press charges. He got swayed, you know, by the cops and by, I think, maybe by Necro too, because they didn't – they wanted me. The bouncers were like, that's the one – he's a problem. Like, they put me in – it was for that situation. That's just one.
The guy with the
fat, you know,
pitch over there. Right.
Yeah, fucking Roger Clemens over there.
Fucking Roger.
Look at
Clemens,
that motherfucker. Yeah.
You
know? Right.
Yeah.
But it was more dramatic, you know. Then I think I did a Jimmy Superfly Snooker too, R.I.P. But I think I jumped off and smashed somebody, you know, in midair. I might have been one of those Tito Santana flying forearm type shit. Allegedly, let's keep all this allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah, this stuff didn't happen, listeners. It didn't happen.
But,
yeah.
What are you talking about? That's a song. I was talking about a song.
Yeah. It's a phenomenal song. But I'll tell you what, this was a dope fucking interview. And man, I really hope you come back in the future because we had a great time. And but before we get out of here, though, I want to give you the floor to plug whatever you got coming out. Social media and all that. We could do a psychological roundtable sometime. Get you, Necro, and a few other guys on and just chop it up. You know.
Oh, that's what's up. I would definitely be down for all that. Yeah, you guys been real, you know, hospitable. You know, good looks. I want to give my first shout out to you guys. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't up on you guys, and you guys hit me up with so much, you know, respect, and you know, I'm giving that respect back. I'll shout out my just to let whoever's listening to be able to check me out. My Instagram handle is MrHyde666777. I have a website where you can get all my merchandise, check out all my newest videos, and all my iTunes links and Spotify links are right on my website. It's MrHydeMerch.com. My Twitter is at MrHydePLR, and my Facebook my official fan page on Facebook is the same shit, Mr. Hyde PLR. And it's the same as my Twitter. My newest album is Evil Never Dies. Go check that shit out. You can buy an autographed copy. The only place you'll get an autographed copy is at my merch site. You know, if people are into hard copies, if not, you got to stream it, go to Spotify, go to iTunes, go to Google Play, anywhere, all digital platforms. I'm there. Working on a new album right now, just let everybody know. I haven't come up with a title yet, but I have like a notebook full of possible titles, but that shit will be coming soon. I already finished writing the first couple songs, so that shit's it should hit around Halloween time 2018. And I want to give a big fucking huge monumental shout out to my brother Necro. You know what I'm saying? Much love for always. That's my non-blood related big brother. You know what I mean? I still look up to that dude. That's my heart right there. I would decapitate someone for that guy. All right?
That's about it.
Look out for his album, The Notorious Gory, is dropping this year.
Oh, yeah. Notorious Gory. We definitely got Necro on here. You know what I'm saying? We've been scheduling and everything, but we're going to make it happen. You know what I'm saying? But we're going to get out of here. I picked another track. This going back a little bit. It's Street Veteran featuring you and Necro, of course.
The first Street Veteran part one?
This is part one. You did about three of them, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I did. And I sound real young on this one because I was young. This one is
a
young
high.
Give
everybody the history on this one.
Okay, well, basically, this is my first. This is before Bone of the Naked Dead drop, before my first solo album. And I think it was right around the time Gory Day. I don't know if it was before or after. I can't think now if this was before Gory Days, Brutality Volume 1, or after Gory Days. Because
I think it
might have been before. It was after?
Might have been before.
Okay. No, maybe
it was
not. I think it is after.
I know Netflix sent me a bunch of shit at the same time.
Right, no, I think it's after.
Okay.
Yeah, it's after. So my first appearance on an actual song was on this track, Circle of Tyrants, on Gory Days. That's what it is. My first verse, it was on the Posse track, Circle of Tyrants, on Gory Days. And then this was my first actual feature Mr. Hyde solo song on the compilation album Brutality Volume 1. And I came out on some Street Veteran shit. I had this ill piano loop beat from Necro, and he was like, yo, you know, I loved it. I was like, I got to rap on this. It's one of the illest piano beats I heard at the time, and had a crazy bass line. And I had this thug shit. I had it was thug violent rap that I had. It was like some street shit. I was like, I got to drop some street shit on this piano loop that sounded like some street shit. And I was like, yo, Necro, get on it with me. And we'll rap crazy thug shit. And we did. We came up with a sick hook and we banged it out. Big shout out to Necro for this one. And actually, I'll tell you a quick story. I got shortly after I recorded this, I got locked up and did a 6-month bid, and Necro played me the final mix of this song over the jail phone. He called me up, you know,
wow.
I called him collect, and he was like, yo, you want to hear the track? You know, and he played me the whole song like on a, you know, five minute call over the jail phone. And he played me Street Veteran. So that's a little nostalgia right there. Necro also used to come up and put money in my commissary. He's the fucking man.
Well, and
got me a lawyer. And got me my lawyer. And got me
that,
my
that
lawyer.
Helps.
They were trying to offer me. They were trying to offer me 3.5 to 7, and I did 6 months, and I'm out, still destroying people. So, you know,
Hell yeah! Well, thank you once again for coming on the show. We look forward to having you on again, Mr. Hyde. You be careful out there on the road. Man, we'll get up with you.
Yeah, smelling like a bitch out here.
Thank
for
you
sure,
so
man.
Much.
Yo, much love. Good looks.
Peace.
Watch me ignite this shit like a fiend's piping. Yo, I do this for thugs, leaving the righteous split. Niggas turning to dashes at the sight of my blaster. You might be tight quick, but some of my bullets run faster. Busting off shots, got you clutching your knife. Trying to plug up the holes, our blood is gushing a lot. Put on my brass knuckles, hit you with the jabber tune. Now I'm set to stab a dude, turn him into maggot food. Check in the magazine, kid, I'll be done with it quick. Watch me empty out clips like a son of a bitch. No remorse in my heart, I've been rotting some fur. Make sure I finish the job, some kids I'm plotting to hurt. I'm hunting for a skirt, if she's beautiful, drugger. And if a man rip, I got the Louisville slugger. Can't grip, you swing with the knack at your face. Little pieces of your skulls all over the place. Attacking shit immaculate, never miss a target. Open up your mouth, son, I use my fist to clog it. Dead up for real, you better get up your shield. Cause when I set up to peel, shot you'll be wet as a seal. Your fleet might be deep, but I'm rolling with worse thugs. Prone to burst slugs, like the loan of first blood. We're getting real fights with all my might, hit you with steel pipes. Leave you with flesh bites that won't heal right if I feel spite. You dick sucking whore, bitch, you ain't Chuck Norris. Bullets travel through skulls like fucking explorers. Evil like the aura of the coroners. Holding foreign objects, the process to cut your spleen like submarine destroyers. Punches to your head in bunches. You're going down like munchkins doing lunges. Ripping through stomach muscles like crunches. Like metal nunchucks smashing your ribs to their soft like sponges. Coughing up a lung of blood cells. All you super guys are getting pulverized. When we roll unsupervised, your eyes are red like trooper disguise. Like having your pupils stomped by a stormtrooper. Brutal demise, repeated pain like I'm looping up cries. Boxing like Romans and ancient Greeks. In the Middle Ages creeps, fought with fight gloves, you'll get dangerously beat. Fuck breaking through floorboards with warlords that maintain jail hard like chainmail and broadsword. Street veteran, we crack your head, you need a veteran. Ain't no fair here.
you crack the sediment. I'll flurry your shots to shank you like a ceratops. Leave you wet like when the bottle of sherry pops. In your grill is fat like little babies licking cock. You disgust me like old ladies with chicken pox. Equal rights, if a bitch steps out of line, I have to fight her. Male or female, I'm drinking blood like apple cider. Wishmaster, pulling out my bitch blaster. You dead and I'm breathing cause I empty clips faster. I'm thugging it out. My click is obnoxious. We'll jig you with lock picks and dig in your pockets. Blast text directly through your raven racks. Pierce flesh and bones, earthworms, flesh and dome. I'm dead in fatigues and steel combat boots. Aim for your front tooth and cold stomp that loose. Cold merciless, hookers flirt with this. 9-inch cock I packed just to hurt you, bitch. And fuck gangster rap, cause I'll shank your back. It's hot, hollow tips versus your blanks and caps. Our lucky kids who fought me already know. Cause I left their bodies sticking like Courtney sweaty hole. You step into us without a weapon to buzz. We'll jack you out your Range Rover, make you trek in the bus.
You'll have your head handed to you. End up a dead bandit, slayed by the commander of Brutal. You better understand it. We're using fisticuffs and pistol snubs to call your bluffs. If you're full of fluff and you think you're missing tough, you remain a peasant, painted unpleasant like eating the brain of pheasant. Destroy you like crack cocaine resin, like a traumatic abortion. Bring it to you like armored horsemen, smashing you like the arms of foremen. This has been a drama endorsement, a supporter of law enforcement. Cops' brains splattered and forced to match. Seeing cattle killed is similar to men dying on European battlefields. Shit, is that real? I'm not lying. You might be missing it. By tradition, we try to fight efficient. We'll light weapons that move fast like the light in a prism. Homes, take it off, make a choice. Get hit with bone, breaking force in your trachea till you can't make a voice. Enter the prize ring, known as the street. The survive thing, if you're weak, you'll be known as cadaver of me.
Street veteran, we crack your head, you need extendering. Ain't no fear here, a man steps, we shredding them. Veteran, your gear, we reddening. When the Glocks pop, you drop so hard, you crack the sediment.
Veteran, we crack your head, you need extendering. Ain't no fear here, a man steps, we shredding them.
Veteran,
your gear, we're reddening. When the Glocks pop, you drop so hard, you crack the sediment.